Amen. How are we, church? Somebody say tired. Yeah, that's all right. So we are walking through this series called Practicing the Way. And it's a series about discipleship. We spent almost like three quarters of half of the year on Sermon on the Mount, with Jesus basically saying, here's how to follow me. Here's what your heart should look like. Here's what your life should look like. And now we want to spend this season of Lent, these 40 days before Easter and leading up to Easter, talking about what does it mean to follow Jesus? Like, what does it mean to be a true disciple of Jesus? What does it mean to be apprentice of Jesus? And we talked about there's three main things here. There's three main goals. The first one is to be with Jesus. The second is to become like him. And the third is to do the things that Jesus did. So turn with me to Mark chapter 4 as we get started today. I have a little exercise for us. Mark chapter 4, verse 36. Now, I want you to just get comfortable. Maybe that means sitting back, closing your eyes. Just like relax your body, relax your shoulders, like maybe stretch out your neck a little bit. Just get in a comfortable seat, a comfortable position. Don't worry about anybody around you. Like everybody can close their eyes and just, you know, if you're self-conscious or anything like that. I want to just read these verses and I want you to just put yourself in that place. All right? So, leaving the crowd behind, they took Jesus along just as he was in the boat. There also were other boats with him. A furious squall came up and waves broke over the boat and it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" Where were you in the story? Were you in another boat watching? Were you in the boat as one of the disciples? Were you Jesus on the cushion? Everybody's like, no, I wouldn't do that. I think it's really powerful because these are some ways that we can interact and pray through Scripture, not just read it logically, but to sit there and put ourselves in the Scripture story, in the verse. Not that the story's about us, but we can learn how to be with Jesus while we experience the story. So we're reading a story about the disciples in a boat with Jesus, and it's going along, and there's a big storm that comes, and waves are crashing, and water's pouring over the sides of the boat. And I don't know if you've been in a situation like that. I haven't really, but I imagine it's terrifying, right? Like as you read that story, and you are in the boat sitting there with Jesus, sitting there asleep on a pillow, and all these waves are crashing in, I imagine that fear starts to arise in us, that stress starts to come up, that questions, we're trying to look for solutions, we're maybe looking for the life jackets, like we are in a straight panic. And I don't think it's a far stretch to go, yeah, this happens in life, doesn't it? Like storms come up. We just Dale preached about that a few weeks ago, that storms will come in life. And Jesus asked the question at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, what's your life built on? Is it built on sand that just erodes and sweeps away with each wave that comes? Or is it built on a rock that's sturdy, that's not moving, that isn't going to fail? So storms come. Waves crash over the side of our boats. Maybe it has to do with the relationship. And the relationship is causing turmoil, a stress in your life. Maybe it's somebody who's living in a way that you don't necessarily want them to live. Or maybe they're hurting you. Or maybe you really want this relationship to work out and it's just not working out. Maybe somebody's hurt you. And you're trying to figure out what to do with that. Maybe it's financial, where you just don't know how to make ends meet. Maybe it's with your job or at class or with a roommate situation. Like, there's a million different ways that storms come and hit our lives. And I think they tend to reveal what our hearts and our minds are set on, what we're looking to as our source. So, take that, hold that for later, all right? Turn with me to John chapter 1, verse 39. We talked about last week how there's an invitation from Jesus to follow him, to be his disciple. We talked a little bit of what that looks like. This week, we're going to be talking about the goal, to be with him. We're going through a book called Practicing the Way. A couple slides earlier, there you go. That book, we're kind of using that as kind of a foundation of our teachings through this. I encourage you to buy it. I encourage you to read it. We're in the first couple chapters, Be With Him. And then we talked about last week this website, practicingtheway.org. And on that website, there are tools that you can use. There are several practices that you can go through. Each one, they have like a four-week curriculum on going through that practice. So they have practice on Sabbath, prayer, fasting, solitude, generosity, scripture. The last three are coming soon, but they aren't out yet. And what I encourage us to do is over the season of Lent to pick one of those and walk through it, either by yourself or with the family or with a small group. Is a means to shape and form your life leading into Easter. Last week, back to John chapter 1, last week we talked about Jesus has this invitation to follow him, to be his apprentice. In John 1, 39, he invited Andrew and his friend to come and see where they were staying. So they came and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day. It was about 4 in the afternoon. There's this invitation, come and see, Jesus says. He says it throughout the book of John, come and see. Come and see what I am about. Come and see my life. Come and see what I can do, what I am doing, what I will do. This come and see was an invitation, not just like, oh, hey, come and see me at this house. We'll hang out for a little bit. This come and see was an invitation. Come and be a part of my life. I love that there are no qualifiers to follow Jesus. He didn't say, come and see if you have your life together. Come and see if you believe all the right things theologically. Come and see if you have time. Come and see. Like, there were no qualifiers. He just made the invitation, and they took him up on the invitation. Come and see. See, throughout Jesus' ministry, he has a broad door and a narrow path to follow him. And the gospel is just whoever wants to follow me, they are invited to come and see. Whoever. And then as we see through the Sermon on the Mount, The door is broad to come in and follow Jesus. But as Jesus explains, like, yeah, everyone's welcome. There's a broad door, but there is a narrow path, which requires you to follow me, to be my disciple, to be an apprentice of me. Luke 10, verse 39, we see Mary sitting at the Lord's feet while her sister's off being busy, being hospitable for the group that's there. We see Mary sitting at the Lord's feet, listening to everything that he said, every single teaching that he taught. In Mark 3, verse 13, Jesus went up to the mountainside, and he called those disciples with him, those who he wanted, and they came to him. He appointed 12, and they might be with him, and that he might send them out to preach and have the authority to drive out demons. So Jesus is teaching to a large crowd. Thousands of people are sitting there, and he called 12 so they might live with him. They might do everything that he did. And the end goal was they would go out and do the things that Jesus did. See, this is the first and most important goal of being a disciple of Jesus. Be with him. The goal to spend our waking moments aware of his presence and attentive to his voice, to cultivate this withness to Jesus as a baseline for your entire life. And we see Jesus model this with his father, don't we? We see Jesus in periods of ministry when he was in high demand, everything was going well in ministry. We see him leave the crowds and go off to be with his father. We see Jesus go off into the wilderness for an extended period of time to be shaped and formed by his father. We see Jesus walking away from the crowds. The disciples are wondering where he is because he's off in the wilderness praying. We see Jesus gather his disciples. Hey guys, can you just hang out in the garden here? Keep watch while I spend time with my father. I need this time. See, Jesus modeled that he often withdrew to lonely places to be with his father. And so what's the first goal for you and I as disciples of Jesus? It's to learn how to be with Jesus. Now, we talk about this all the time, so don't let this become just a mundane, mute point. Oh, we talk about it all the time, be with Jesus, be with Jesus. But there's an invitation to actually arrange our lives around being with him. I think that's the primary challenge of being a disciple, especially in our day and age. Learn how to be with him. Learn how to be rather than just falling to the default doing all the time. Pete Scazzaro has this, another pastor out of New York has this paradigm where he says we need to be more focused on our being than our doing. Being with him is more paramount in our lives. It's more crucial in our lives than doing things for Jesus. Now, our default is doing. Think about it. If you were in the boat and waves were crashing over the side and there was a big storm, what would your default be? Probably doing. Even if you didn't know what to do, you'd probably be doing. I need to prep for the storm. I need to steer us in a better location. I need to gather supplies so if the boat sinks, we'll be safe. Now, all of that are wise and practical things you should be doing when the boat is sinking. But often it's our default. When something's not right in my life, I'm going to do something about it. I'm going to take action. I'm going to change this habit or this behavior in my life. I'm going to fix it now. And that's not bad, right? But it can be. If our life with Jesus, our spiritual life with Jesus, slips into being all about doing rather than being about being with him. Pete Cazero said there's 11 signs your being is out of sync with your doing, or your doing is out of sync with your being. All right? So just mentally take a tally if this explains you. You avoid silence, and when you're quiet, your mind constantly races. Some of you are like, I can't even pay attention to the sermon because my mind is racing in a million different ways. Right? So, second one, you skip or skim on Sabbath. You don't know how to take a rest. You don't know how to take a day off. Vacation drives you crazy because you can't do anything. You hurry a lot. Everything is, let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go. Gotta get there, gotta do it now. You position yourself so that others think well of you. You say yes when you probably should say no. You're resentful and tired because you regularly try to do it all. You rarely taste food as a gift of God. You have little mindfulness of delighting in Jesus and his love during and throughout the day. You are often unaware when your body is full of tension. You have little or no awareness when you are having an overreaction. You check email and Facebook, social media, whatever you want to put in there, more than 15 times a day and before you go to bed. I think everybody at some point during that list can go, man. But here's the trick. Like often, as Jesus followers, we're taught, like, what's the first thing we think? You got to believe the right thing, right? You got to believe the right thing and think the right thing. And then pretty quickly, it's like, well, now you got to do the right things in your life. Oftentimes, the people disqualify themselves from even coming and seeing what Jesus is about because they go, my life, it's not all together. I got to do things differently. So we have to somehow start to shift our paradigm that it's more important to learn how to be with him. That's the first step. Be with Jesus. As we be with Jesus, we become like him. And as we become like him, we start to do the things that Jesus did. Oftentimes, we want to skip a bunch of steps in there. And it's, hey, do you want to go to heaven? Yes. Okay, great. Now, start doing a bunch of things for Jesus. Start going to church. Start reading your Bible. Start praying. Start going on mission trips. Start giving. Start doing all these things. And we skip right over the whole point about being. How's your being with Jesus? Where is it lacking? John chapters 14, 15, and 16. Jesus is meeting with his disciples before he's going to die on the cross. And he's got like these three just powerful chapters. You should go home and read them sometime. They'd be worth your time. But the night before, he told his disciples, hey, I'll ask the Father, and he's going to give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. He's talking about the Holy Spirit. In chapters 14 and 16, he says, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. in the Holy Spirit, before it was your job to be with me. Now I'm sending the Holy Spirit, and that's going to be me in you. The Holy Spirit is going to be there to be your advocate, to be your teacher, to be your guide, to be your strength, to give you passions and gifts, and he will strengthen you. The Holy Spirit is going to be there to be in you, and you in it, in this whole thing. And that's going to be how you are with me. And in the middle, John 15. Jesus says in 15 verse 4, remain in me. In other translations, it says abide in me. And I also remain in you. So there's an invitation, there's a command, there's a Jesus is saying, hey, your job as you follow me is to remain in me, to be with me. He says, you can't do anything on your own. And if you remain in me, you're going to bear fruit. Don't even worry about the fruit, because you're going to bear it if you remain in me. That word abide in the Greek, it's translated remain or stay or dwell or to make your home in. See, you can translate that verse to say this, make your home in me as I make my home in you. Jesus uses that word 10 times in this short teaching. It's almost like he had one primary point of John chapter 15, and that's to get this point across. Make your home in me, and I will make my home in you. Remain in me. That's all you need to worry about. That's your primary task as you follow Jesus. It's almost like that's the whole point of the Sermon on the Mount that we just went through. Remain in me. Don't worry, I'll transform your heart. I'll transform your mind. Like, you don't have it all together. Like, you don't have to even worry about the fruit. I'll take care of that. You don't have to worry about the results, the outcomes. I'll take care of all of that. All you have to do as a son or daughter of Jesus is make your home in me as I make my home in you. I think one of the first things we have to become aware of is, where are you remaining? Where are you making your home? Specifically, in your heart and in your mind. Where are you remaining? What do you spend your time doing? What do you spend your time thinking about? Where do you go when you want to or need to escape the pressures of life? I think when we spend time with those three questions, it starts to give us a picture, an idea of where we are making our home. What do you spend your time doing? What do you spend your time thinking about? And where do you go to escape the pressures of life? The answers to those three questions will reveal where your heart and your mind has its home. Maybe it has its home in comfort. Maybe it has its home in control. Maybe it has its home in power. It has its home somewhere. The question is, where? Jesus says, There is a truth here that if you make your home in me and I make my home in you, there will be fruit that grows. And the fruit will be love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Is that the fruit that you are seeing in your life? Now also, that's fruit over the long haul, right? Discipleship, being an apprentice of Jesus, is a lifelong thing. As you make your home in Jesus, and he makes his home in you via the Holy Spirit, it is a lifelong thing that is continually transforming you and shaping your heart in your mind. So what does it look like for you? What does it look like for us to be with Jesus? I think it largely looks like getting into the habit of being with Jesus. So, what does your day look like? When do you put your thoughts in your mind on Jesus? When do you stop and just have a quick conversation with Jesus? When do you just sit and think on Jesus? One person in there's a quote in the book. I think it was a sister said this, "My time with Jesus consists of this, me looking at him and he looking at me, and we're happy." That's profound. But where do you spend time talking to Jesus, listening for Jesus? Where do you spend time capturing all the thoughts that happen in your head and giving them to Jesus? When do you read scripture? When do you pray? Sometimes it's a conversation, right? Sometimes it's reading or listening to scripture. As you drive to work, as you get ready in the morning, as you sit in the woods somewhere peacefully looking over this beautiful view. Sometimes it's listening to worship music. Sometimes it's sitting in the quiet and focusing our thoughts on Jesus. Sometimes it's thinking about Jesus or talking about Jesus, about the things we're worried about, the things that are stressing us out as we're driving to work. Sometimes it's taking every thought captive. When I think this, I need to just hold it here and ask Jesus what he thinks about this thought, or give this thought to the Holy Spirit, or give this anxiety to the Holy Spirit because it's clear I can't do anything about it. Sometimes I'll just be thinking throughout the day and a worry will fly into my mind, and I try as quick as I can to capture it and be like, "Oh, Jesus, you got this. Jesus, there ain't nothing I can do about this. This is your job. You got this. It's not my job to worry about it." One of the clues, I think, of our withness with Jesus, if we're making our home in him and he's making our home in us, is how we react to the storms in our life. When something happens, where do you go? In your heart and mind. As we become aware of that, it clues us in on where our home is. And one of the calls, the call of being a disciple of Jesus, is being with him, making our home with him, so no matter what happens, eventually the goal is that we are walking with Jesus every minute of every day. And every time a storm hits, our first thought is Jesus. And it's not, Jesus, why don't you do something? Jesus, why don't you wake up? It's, no, Jesus got this. I trust in my Father. I remain in him. I abide in him. This is one of those things about following Jesus that, like, I think if you've been in church for any amount of time, you've heard a lot. If you've been here, you've heard it a lot. It remains to be one of the chief challenges of being a follower of Jesus. This is not easy. And last week I talked about the difference between trying versus training. This is one of those training pieces. That as you train to be with Jesus, it gets easier to be with Jesus. When you first start, it's going to feel clunky. It's going to feel awkward. It's going to feel like weird. But it's a training piece. As you train, you will learn how you will make your home in Jesus. And you will watch and see how he makes his home in you. So this week, I want you to try something new. I want you to try to be with Jesus in a new way this week. Worship team, come up. Come on up. Try to be with Jesus in a new way this week. Maybe that's reading scripture every day. Maybe that's just stopping and praying. Maybe that's, I'm going to be with Jesus. Turn off the radio, silence the phone, everything on my way to work and just be with him. Or I'm going to go off into the woods once this week and just be with Jesus. Or I'm going to make an active thought of, as I'm working throughout the day, every half an hour, 30 minutes, I'm going to check in with Jesus. It is a way of training my mind to learn how to be with him. You can come up with the way. You're smart people. But I want this challenge. Try to be with Jesus in a new way every single day this week. And see what happens. We're going to sing one last song. Our prayer team is here this morning and will be at the side of the room. If you have something, anything that you want prayer for, and they'll pray for you after the song's over, after the service is over. Don't worry about that. But if you have anything that you want prayer for, like you're just walking through life and it's hard right now, get up and go ask for prayer. They would love to pray with you. They would love to pray with you about this. How am I going to be with Jesus this week? What are the steps that I'm going to take? Jesus, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for this instruction, this command, this invitation to remain in you. And Jesus, specifically this week, make us aware for where our home is, in our hearts and in our minds, and draw us closer to you. In your name, amen.